Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. We sort of take it for granted that the live theater that we see today and the acting styles on stage have always been the way they are. But acting and directing styles, just like fashion, change over time. And what American theater was like in the 1870s is much different than what theatergoers and even the actors themselves experience today.
Local actress and playwright Angela Iannone has already written and produced three plays about the great 19th century American actor Edwin Booth. In theater circles, Booth is considered the father of American theater acting and was supremely successful in his time. He was a member of the original royal family of American theater, which included his father, Junius, and his brother, the notorious John Wilkes Booth.
In Iannone's latest play, The Seeds of Banquo, we find Edwin Booth rehearsing a new production of Shakespeare's Macbeth. We're joined in the studio now by Iannone, actor John Glavatsky, and actress Marcy Daugherty-Elst, who's also the producing director at Theater Red. Iannone began by explaining how the series of plays has developed.
It used to be a trilogy, and then I wrote this play, so it is no longer a trilogy. I'm calling it the Edwin Booth Play Cycle. Now, of course, there are possibilities for lots more, but this is the fourth play in the series so far.
And where are we in Edwin's
We are life? In 1870, which is his second season at his theater, the Booth Theater in New York. Now, it is not the Booth that is standing today. That one is named after him, but that isn't his theater. The Booth Theater burned down, I think, sometime in the 1880s. But this is his second season at his Booth Theater in New York City. And he is opening his season with a production of Macbeth. Never a good idea.
To actually say it.
I did. I said it. So,
but
now
we're not in the theater.
We're not in the theater.
So it's okay to say that. Yeah, there is a tradition in the theater that one calls it the Scottish play.
Yes, or the Scottish tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And we do talk a little bit about that in the play itself because he is rehearsing the play and we do scenes from Macbeth and they talk about the curse and whether it's real and what does it mean and do you avoid saying it. But yeah, the other actors are a bit nervous about having to do this play just because of the curse attached to it. At this time in 1870, he's waiting on the birth of his first child with his second wife, also ill-fated. His second wife, Mary McVicar Booth, was insane. And I'm not using that as a sort of a contemporary spin. She did have severe mental problems that got worse and worse and worse after this particular pregnancy. And that's a sort of a thing that's hanging over him at the same time as trying to rehearse Macbeth, as full of curses as it is. And he has a brand new leading lady in Mrs. D.P. Bowers, who came out of semi-retirement to play Lady Macbeth opposite him because his second wife was supposed to play Lady Mac and then she got pregnant.
Ah.
So he had to replace her with Mrs. D.P. Bowers, who was very well respected and a fine classical actress and is not about to be pushed around by Edwin Booth.
And Marcy, that is your part?
Yes.
Yes. And John, what is it like to play Edwin?
To play Edwin? Well, it's really outstanding because there are so many things to draw from in that, as opposed to a fictional character.
Right. And some of that, I would think some of the challenge is the fact that he is a real person and there is this history.
Yes.
And what really happened and the way he really was. And he's pretty well documented, too.
Yes. There are actually a new book just came out this month by Daniel J. Watermeyer. It's called The American Tragedian. And Mr. Watermeyer has assisted me several times with some of my research questions. So we were really excited when his book came out that we could go, oh, look, there's that little bit of information.
And then you bring that in.
Through Angela, mostly. Yes. So I get to pretend to be Edwin, and everyone else around me pretends that I am too. So if I do things that are far out of the 19th century mannerisms or things of that nature, Angela is quick to help me with those, to correct those.
To come back
into, yeah, or to how can we modify a gesture I'm doing, which we just worked on yesterday.
Is it interesting for the two of you to have to almost unlearn? I mean, the way acting is now is so different and how people approach characters and the style that we expect on stage now is so different from what they did. What is that like for you guys?
Well, I think it's been really interesting. I have enjoyed learning a lot about Edwin Booth, this period of history, and in particular Mrs. Bowers. I do say that working with Angela on this play is like a master class in the Booth family and 19th century American mm-hmm. theater history. So it's a really great opportunity to research such an important person at the time. Mrs. Bowers was a force, a very well-known actress and, you know, quite a famous lady of her time. And I've had a lot of fun researching her and looking how to bring her on stage through my own performance. And I think the 19th century etiquette, as John mentioned, and just sort of views about personal space and relationships, what has been helpful to us, I think, as actors, during the rehearsal process, we've instituted a 19th century rule of etiquette, per se. So when a lady enters a room during the rehearsal process, gentlemen are required to stand. Gentlemen get doors for ladies. Ladies don't carry anything. I mean, I'm really thinking, like, how do I bring this back into my home life with my husband at home?
Good luck with that. Let us know how that goes.
And also such things as, back at the time, you wouldn't greet someone with a hug. So personal space and the ideas of personal space are very different. And in fact, that is a major point of contention between Mrs. Bowers and Edwin Booth in their portrayal of the Macbeths. Mrs. Bowers has an idea that in order to show the audience this intimacy and the power of their relationship, that the performance should be very close. And Edwin Booth disagrees strongly. So they start off their appearance on stage in a pretty contentious manner. She's just received a letter from him, a contract, essentially saying, don't touch me unless I tell you you can. And she barges in on his rehearsal a little bit upset about that. And he's got very specific views about personal space and touching. And that is really an issue the two of them have to work through throughout this rehearsal and come to terms with how to define their performance and their relationship. And that's very different than a contemporary actor. When I see John, my instinct is to go hug him. Hey, John, how was your day? Well, we don't do that in our rehearsal because that is not what you would have done at the time. So I think that's been really helpful to inform and set a climate.
And bringing it as in terms of acting styles, too, Edwin was certainly at the forefront of realism and what we have today. And there's a recording of him on YouTube. You can look it up. And although the quality isn't great, his performance is incredibly natural and well-spoken and open. It's amazing. That wasn't the case for everyone at the time. Where I think we are more today is we're much closer to our stream of thought, and I'm allowed to say what I'm thinking for the most part without a filter or without a great deal of one. We certainly still have manners that I think in general people adhere to. In the 19th century, they were much more elevated or more...
maybe more defined.
More defined.
And stricter.
Yeah, and bigger filters. Things that you say and you don't say in mixed company. People that you feel able to touch or embrace and people that you don't. That there isn't that immediate intimacy that we rely on today.
Yeah.
That you had to earn an intimacy, a touch, a handshake, any of those things. And that the language is a little more ornamented, I think. Even the everyday speaking language is a little more ornamented because we were still in the process of discovering what our regional dialects were going to be. And we're still playing with language in a much more expansive way. Now our tendency is to strip everything out. And with texting, you're even stripping out letters. We don't even bother to spell a word completely, much less do a long, lovely, leisurely sentence. And this is a time period where we're having fun embroidering rather than stripping away.
The performance that we're doing in this play today is the balance between, are there moments where the etiquette and the performance drop out, where it is I'm directly talking intimately with someone, or am I performing the etiquette of the time with different characters? Each one is a little different, or how many people are in the room changes it maybe slightly, maybe drastically. To also, I have to perform my etiquette as well as I'm performing Shakespeare. So there's Edwin with certain people in the room, Edwin being formal, and Edwin acting.
How fun.
Yeah, incredibly fun. Yeah.
Lots to keep track of, though.
Mm-hmm.
And Angela, for you, you both wrote this and you're directing this. Mm. How is it for you to, as a director, see all of this starting to take shape?
One of the most amazing things was that I got to spend about 2.5 weeks with Edwin's actual prompt book for his production of Macbeth at the booth, seeing sound cues, lighting cues, stage directions, blocking, drawings of the set. That's an amazing document. So I lifted sections of it, and we are performing his production of it in this rehearsal, that when we're going to do this scene, we are doing everything the way Edwin specified it in his prompt book. And when we do that, we get to look in at his concept of the show, and we get to see that 19th century etiquette performed in a Shakespearean play. It's been absolutely fascinating because, of course, when I'm sitting there with the prompt book, I'm like, oh, this will look so gorgeous. And now I'm saying, okay, Edwin says, right here we go. This is what is happening. And then they do it. The first time we blocked the banquet scene with Edwin's blocking, we all got goosebumps and we all looked around at each other and went, does it feel a little different in this room? Mm-hmm. Are we having a visitation? Mm-hmm. Because you could feel so much history coming at you. Mm-hmm. It was just this awesome, timey-wimey thing.
Yeah, I was going to say the overlay of that. It's like you're recreating something that actually happened. But, mm-hmm. but here we are in 2015 with our ideas that feeds back into that, that feeds – I mean, it's just – yeah, it's like I feel like I'm in a time warp.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
How exciting.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. And the better that we get to know these people, the more that these guys are able to take that information and then shape their own performances without me doing anything other than saying, okay, we know that this thing is happening in their life right now. That's the dramaturg information that we have. So – take that mindset and now play that. It's really been astonishing. And this group of people, just amazing. That's all I have to do is say, okay, here's the thing that's happening right now. Here is my historical nerd information for you. And they go, I see. Yeah. And then they run the scene again and the whole thing lights up in a completely different way.
And yeah, it's because you did that work that mm-hmm. you have researched this so extensively and then brilliantly worked it into the script, I think is what makes it so exciting for me to be a part of it.
It is a real treasure to have the playwright as your director because anytime there's a line or something going on and you're not exactly sure what they meant, well, you can ask her. She's right there. Mm-hmm. What did you mean here or what's going on here? So it's been a really incredible experience.
That's a tough job, too, mm-hmm. I will say, wearing different hats, because I think certain sacrifices have to be made as a writer mm-hmm. and a director at the same time. And I've worked with people who are less able to do that in the moment when we're actually rehearsing. So it's just a joy. And then it becomes an incredible advantage.
Well, I cannot thank you all enough for coming in. Break a leg.
Thank
with this.
You.
Can't
so
wait to see it.
Thank you.
And come back with the next one, okay?
All right. You're on.
All right. Thanks great. Again.
Thank you.
Theater Red's The Seeds of Banquo opens tomorrow night at Solstice Theater in St. Francis. It's written and directed by Angela Iannone and stars Marcy Daugherty Elst as Mrs. Bowers and John Glovatsky as Edwin Booth. There's more information at wuwm.com/lakeeffect, and you'll also find a link to an archival recording of Edwin Booth himself reading from Othello.